You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 83rd episode of the highest-rated Nuggets podcast in English among those hosted from the city of Pančevo, Serbia. Welcome to the DNVR Nuggets' Serbian Corner. My name is Miroslav Čuk, and it is the All-Star Weekend, baby. Is there anything better to do than watch all the events from Indianapolis? Yeah, almost all the other things are better than that. But if you are scrapping for some Nuggets content today, you kind of came to the right place. We will, in fact, speak about the Nuggets for several minutes today. No usual long monologue from me today. I'll just let my guests monologue in unison for me, if that's not an oxymoron. First, the undisputed king of Nuggets trivia, the Nuggets game show champion for 2023, calling from Tampa, Florida, it's Wade. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, Miroslav. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the intro.
Did I mess that up? You're calling from Tampa?
Technically, close enough, I guess. Yeah. I'm with the in-laws for the weekend, so.
Oh, good. Good. Well, it's closer than Los Angeles, I guess. So
definitely.
I should be fine. Okay, so I'm guessing you don't need any prep for these kinds of shows since you don't watch the games. You only read the spreadsheets, right?
Yeah. I'm just a box score watcher. You know, I haven't watched a game in a good 10 years, probably.
Okay. Next, also a finalist in the 2023 Serbian Corner game show. He is a producer, a director, an actor, a brilliant comedian. I urge everybody to check his Funny or Die bit from some 7 years ago. It's on YouTube. Also, a Nuggets diehard, it's Mr. Andy Jewett, appearing on the screen for the third time tonight because I'm a bad producing. What's up?
Hey, everybody. Thank you. I'm in my beautiful guest room. Got some visitors, so it looks like I'm coming to you from a Hampton Inn, but I assure you, this is my home. A little bonus for, like, I don't know if this will fuck up my connection, but if you want to know, so, like, better backdrop, that's where Christian Brown and Piwa and Strother live.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, just a little nugget. We're in proximity to Nugget greatness in the mountains, okay?
So, we are a stalker show today. That's really cool. And I know you were born ready, but how many hours did you take to prepare for this show?
This is the least prepared I've ever been, which is not a way to beat Wade. Wade is like, what's he like? He's like the Lakers before the Nuggets, and I'm like the Nuggets on the come up. It can't be a rivalry because Wade always beats me in the last game. So I'm just excited for, the All-Star Weekend festivities where they've got really great personalities like Kendrick Perkins and Gilbert Arenas and, the guys who really know basketball, Richard Jefferson, they're all good. I can't wait for the handshake challenge brought to you by Ghirardelli Chocolates. I couldn't be more excited for the squat off between DeMarcus Cousins and Detlef Schrempf. It's going to be unbelievable. Who's going to do more squats? I've got Detlef.
Yeah, you're right. It's completely diverged in that direction. Last but not least, from the Four Corners Nuggets podcast, an archer, a bowler, a dog whisperer, and one of the tallest Nuggets fans outside of Serbia, it's Rayvon Ray Hakshaw. Ray, are you ready to rumble? You're muted. You are muted, so you're not ready to rumble. maybe try to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm actually, now I'm ready. See, that's the difference. This one thing. But yeah, I'm super excited to be here. I have been meditating on the last couple of weeks, just trying to find some peace. Andy, I do have a question. There's not like a telescope in the other corner of your room, is there?
Over here or over here?
I don't know. I mean...
Oh, you mean like to like check out everybody? No, I was just walking my dog the other day and I saw Christian Brown just drive in there. And then I saw P-Watt on the DMVR podcast. He's like, oh, we all live in the same building. I was like, oh, I put two and two together, guys.
Dope.
So that's all that's going on. I was just trying to show you that I do have a better background. I just can't access it.
Yeah.
I'll just be like a shadow, like anonymous, and you'll only see the sun.
Yeah, that's right. That's and you're a pro's pro. You know you don't want to have any background.
Yeah, this is a pro setup, obviously. Yeah.
Can relate.
There's some Nuggets contraband shirts here for people visiting, and it's great.
Okay, so before we get to the ruthless brawl, this battle for the title of the MVP of the All-Star Game show, let's dive in a bit into what we've seen in Milwaukee and against the Kings this week. I hope I won't bother you with that for too long. So in Milwaukee, the Nuggets had all of their guys, except for Jay Huff, who didn't play due to coach's decision, and laid an egg the size of four Adetokounmpo brothers combined. In the first half, Nuggets starters, whose last name does not rhyme with Okic, combined for 2 of 18 from the field, and that was enough for the 16-point lead for the hosts at the half. To be fair, both Jamal and KCP left the game after first half due to injuries. So, wait, that was their second consecutive blowout loss. What were your thoughts during the carnage and right after it?
My first thought was they're a little banged up. They're defending champions. You know, it's the regular season, so I think that they've not bored with success, but they're kind of just waiting to have something to really play for. You would think that they would get up to play a team like the Bucks coming into town, but I guess not. So I'm just going to chalk it up to, you know, they're waiting for something more meaningful.
Andy, do you have a different view?
No, I'm with Wade. I think even since the earliest versions of this team, like where they realize that they're pretty good when they really coalesce and play really hard and play good defense and all those things, they sort of have always gotten bored in the late December through February portion of the season. And it's been sort of a theme. And even limping into the playoffs a couple times where they're just like, can we just please get to the playoffs? So I think it's pretty typical. The things that I liked from the last 2 weeks was the Lakers game could have been like a bloodbath. It was Kobe night, all that stuff. And that was like four games ago. And they got up for that and they dominated. Or they didn't dominate, but they looked ready to play and the environment was intense. And then Kings, Bucks, Kings, they kind of looked like they didn't care. I thought it was really weird that Malone played KCP the last two games. Didn't seem necessary at all. It's like, just shut them down until after the All-Star break. Let things heal. Let 30-whatever-year-old players relax. But I don't think the sky is falling. I don't know how much more we're going to go into it because I have thoughts on it. But I just also think probably would have been wise to like rest a couple guys because they're going to play the Kings again in like 10 days. It gets old. You have to play all these guys stacked up and you're sore as hell and you don't care as much about the games, but you've got to sort of get up for the games, I think.
So Ray, I didn't watch this game live, and it was really difficult for me to make myself watch the entirety of it. Did you watch it live, or what was your
impression? I did. I mean, technically, I was there. technically I was looking at the screen. Mentally, checked out. Had to rewatch it again. Mentally checked out again. Maybe had to do it a third time this morning. But here's what I've been thinking about just in general with that, with these sort of performances, is that I think there's a double-edged sword sometimes when you have a player who's as great as Nikola Jokic is. I think you see a similar thing sometimes with LeBron James even, is that it puts a lot of pressure on the other guys to perform well offensively, but in a very narrow context where maybe they don't always feel that LeBron takes you a ball, you got to make it, you got to shoot it, you got to do this particular thing. I think same thing with Jokic. And he's so great. You know, sometimes you just want to pass him the ball and get out of the way. And that's usually fine until you lose a couple of starters and you need somebody to step up. And maybe you want to put up more points outside of Jokic in the last, you know, 10 minutes of a game. I think it just, there's a lot of people not being used to that and not having to be relied on in that way. So I think it's just something that you got to take the bad with the good there. I'm not sure if there's a solution.
So, Andy, do you have a theory on why Jokic shows up even in games like this one? Like, he recorded 8 assists even with that shooting night from his teammates.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, he has that reputation for not caring or not liking basketball that I think any of the four of us know is completely dispelled. Like, he really does. When you're like that excellent, and also when you're that much of an athlete, people don't give him credit for being athletic or having endurance or any of those things, because he's not jumping out of the gym, or, you know, he's not like Aaron Gordon or something. But he wants to play every night. I think he really does enjoy it. He'll do it until he's can't do it anymore. I think that's, to me, that's a good sign for us selfishly. But I think he doesn't want to go to Milwaukee and get his ass kicked by Giannis at all. He doesn't want to lose to Malik Monk and Sabonis. He wants to play. Now, the only thing that's concerning is like the lack of focus by some of the other guys is a little weird. And even the young guys who, you know, we'll talk about the bench, I'm sure, but like CB and P-Watt and all those guys have incredible games and incredible upside. And at times they're like, holy shit, I can't believe we have these guys. And if you really watch those games, like, even if they get 4 rebounds in their 10 minutes, like, they're not crashing the glass. They're not, there's a handful of things they're not doing. They're definitely defending with blocks and, hustling in other ways, but they're not, it feels very, to me, like those guys feel a little settled in, and I'd like to see them go like what Malone did with P-Watt in the early part of the season, where he was like, this isn't like promised to you. You need to like bust your ass, or you'll be Zeke, you know? And I don't mean that negatively towards Zeke, because I want Zeke to work out also, but I just feel like there's just this lull, and the Nuggets have always been this team that just can't wait to play when it matters. Because when it matters, Jamal Murray has 30 points, you know, MPJ, you know, hustles his ass off and does more than just score, and he plays good defense and he rebounds. And so I can't wait to get to that part of the season. And I think, like, Jamal is a great example of someone who, after this break, will feel more shot out of a cannon for 6 weeks. And then right before the April, he'll lull it all off, and then the playoffs will come, and then they'll be fucking shot out of a cannon again.
Ray, it's like the contrast between Jokic and the other guys was so stark in this game. I'm not saying that Jokic had a great game. He had a pretty usual Jokic game over there. Maybe like a B plus Jokic game, but it's just, it connects to the other part, is like, these guys are real pros, real, real, real pros. Like, these guys, all of them are top 500 players in the world. Like, some of them way higher than that, of course, but I really feel these guys are undisputedly all top 500 players in the world. And yet, you get like 2 of 18 in the first half. How is that possible? A lot of those shots were just wide open and nothing.
Yeah, I would have to say some part of it is just rhythm and practice where are these shots that you're usually getting in the normal circumstances of a Nuggets game for some of those guys. I think for Justin Holiday, for example, he's not usually closing games. You know, that's not usually a thing he's doing. And I think the same is going to be true for Christian. The same is going to be true for Peyton Watson. Some players, I think, are so seasoned that that inconsistency doesn't really bother them. Like, I think KCP is very much in that way, that he could take five shots a game and he can still hold himself at a pretty high efficiency rate, even without touching the ball all the time. But I think especially for young players who I think are going to feel a lot of that pressure, like, I need to make this shot or people are going to boo me or I might, you know, get not that many minutes next night or whatever it might be. I think guys who aren't as just rooted in their belief in themselves as, you know, sticking in the NBA, I think it's harder for them.
So wait, did this game look to you like the is it John Travolta coming into the room and like everything is, there's nothing around him?
Maybe a little bit, but I think that's part of why Jokic does show up to these games, is like, he, I don't think he cares so much about the win. I think he cares about, okay, like, this is an opportunity for, like, I need you to believe in yourself when I pass you this ball that you're going to get this shot, you're going to make this shot. And I don't think he really cares, like I said, if they win or if they miss or whatever. He just wants to get people accustomed to making the right plays, even if it is the John Travolta meme of, like, where is everybody? That's okay right now. He just wants to find them 2 months from now, 3 months from now.
Yeah, I might have already spoiled one of the questions. Maybe John Travolta will appear in the rest of the show. Probably not, but who knows?
A little Pulp Fiction, maybe?
The answer is Papa John Travolta.
I just want to mess.
Can I bank that answer for 20 minutes from now?
Okay. Yeah.
We'll see.
So Wade, what do you think? Is there a better meme maybe to describe what happened in Milwaukee?
That's just put me on the spot. A better meme.
Sorry.
I mean, that one's pretty, it's pretty spot on. You know, you show up and you're putting on and doing what you have to do, and it's the results aren't there from your supporting cast. But like Ray said, I think Jokic is all about like the process of things and setting guys up and like just conditioning them to possibly be in those moments when when it really, really matters. You know, if we lose a game to the Kings or to the Bucks now, but those reps that, you know, P. Watt's getting or Christian Brown's getting, you know, that could pay off, you know, when the time comes, because they'll be more conditioned to being in those situations. And the stakes would be a little bit higher, so hopefully, like, they don't fall, you know, victim to that pressure, but it's somewhere that they've been before, in a way. And it's cool to see that Jokic still trusts his teammates and he didn't try to just go bully ball and, you know, try to go for 50. So, yeah, I think that's a good meme for it, but I don't think he's confused by it or anything. I think he kind of just understands, like, you know, they're just not there yet, or the consistency is just not there yet, but it'll come.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Of course.
You know what? So do you guys ever feel like, you know, sometimes it feels like Jokic shows up to a game in second gear, but for him, second gear is still amazing. It's still 20, 25 points, 10, 15 rebounds, 10 assists, what have you. That other guys on the team, Miroslav, maybe you want to answer this, other guys on the team show up and maybe also feel like they can be in second gear. And yes, just for them, second gear is not, it doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, and I think that's especially true on the road. I think at home, we're like, you know, 21-6 or whatever it is, and you go there and it's like everybody feels comfortable, everybody knows what they need to do, they're locked in, they come out of that tunnel at Ball Arena, it's a really hard place to play. When you go to like Milwaukee, you know, they're 22-6 or whatever they are at home, or 21-7 or something. That, like, you know, Brooke Lopez is in the right spot, Pat Connaughton off the bench is not doing a ton of offense, but he's distributing the ball on the break and hitting a three. And like those other teams, like Miroslav said, like everybody in the whole league is the top whatever 100 players in the world. And if you're not like ready to go, you need to get up for Milwaukee on the road. You need to get up for a Kings game on the road. Cause like that's their house. And I do feel, Ray, like sometimes, yeah, like I saw them come out of the tunnel. I feel like it was at the Kings game, and I instantly knew, I was like, they're gonna lose. Jokic looked focused and everyone else was like grab assing and whatever. And not that my playing days are any indication, but when we came out of the tunnel like that, it was like, oh, we're not just going to lock in once the whistle blows, the ball tips. It's like, you need to be locked in or you're going to get L's in this league.
Yeah. Let's take a short break and then we'll just run quickly through the Kings game before we get to the real meat of the show. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so versus the Kings, we got a perfect preview on Locked On Nuggets where Matt Moore predicted the Nuggets winning comfortably, you know, since the Kings were on the second night of the back-to-back, while Adam Maris was curbing his enthusiasm. the Nuggets played great, considering their starting backcourt was out, had a sizable lead at the half, kept it through most of the third quarter, and then they let the refs get under their skin, conceded two technical fouls in a row, and lost the big lead. They were up 4 2 minutes before the end, but then Harrison Barnes made a tough three. MPJ got the three-pointer you want, missed it. Then they tried something different, Justin Holiday taking shots you don't want, but he still missed them. So, you know, also bad process, bad results. And on the other end, the sub-All-Star level star, De'Aaron Fox, made 10 straight points, so the Nuggets lost a third consecutive game. Wade, you can blame the shooting variance for this loss. It felt like only dunks and layups were going in for the champs. But was there something else that rubbed you the wrong way, especially in the fourth quarter?
I think it was just a matter of they just didn't it just didn't seem like they wanted to really win the game. Like they were just trying to get to the finish line. You know, I think they were thinking about whatever vacations they had planned coming up this weekend. You know, starting the game off, you know, they had that energy, but typically you see that when teams are missing a couple of guys that, you know, they kind of rally around them. But then a team like Sacramento, they're pretty decent in the fourth quarter, especially De'Aaron Fox. He lives for those kind of moments when his team is down. So I think it's variance, and then it's just a matter of, like, I think they just didn't really want to be there. That's what it just looked like. You know, it just didn't feel like the team that we've seen over the past, you know, with the exception of this week, going back 3 to 4 weeks prior to that, you know. So that's what I look at it for.
So Ray, do you think the Nuggets were surprised by the level of intensity the Kings showed in the fourth quarter and not, you know, conceding a loss after a good game by the Nuggets?
I don't think they were surprised because I think most teams on a night-to-night basis are bringing their best against Denver. I think they feel that, I'm sure. But with that lack of, I don't know, I want to call it desperation, but there was a time when they hadn't done almost anything and just making the playoffs was like everything for them. And they were a lot hungrier, you might say. And it's not to say that winning a championship and having that level of confidence is intrinsically wrong, but you know, sometimes it's a Wednesday night in the regular season and they have the killer instinct of a vegetarian.
Yeah.
I feel like they just went to the, like mentally when they came out of that tunnel and I was like, oh, we're going to lose. It was like, it felt like to me out of the gate, like they, you know, they're probably good for a first quarter, And they were. Like, Justin Holliday came out and contributed right away and all that stuff. But to put it together four quarters right before a break, you know you're about to go on, like, winter break at school or whatever. You know, you sort of – you can get caught up in checking out. And to Ray's point, when everybody's biggest game of the week is your team, you know, if you're going out there already shorthanded without Jamal and KCP, and that's a different vibe than Reggie and Justin Holliday and whatever. And they're all good players. And by the way, Reggie's obviously been solid most of the season and all that. But the closing of fourth quarters, it's like they're at home. That's their house. They've got the beam. They've got the intensity of all these home fans and the loyal people that ostensibly the Kings are just a slightly smaller market version of the Nuggets. They've never really tasted any success either, or limited, and they're ready to have their day in the sun. And so they're going to bring it right before the All-Star break because they know they can exhale. Whereas our guys, I feel like we're looking ahead.
Wade, for the second game in a row, Colin Gillespie played over Jalen Pickett, which is strange considering Calvin Booth was all in on Jalen since he gave him 3+1 deal this summer. If you were a betting man, would you bet on Michael Malone and Calvin Booth not being aligned there? Or maybe there's some stuff from the locker room that are the real reason for this. By the way, I don't remember Jalen being a preferred option to Colin at any point of this season.
I think, yeah, maybe there could be. They're not aligned in what they're looking for as far as the future goes. But maybe there is something that we just don't know behind the scenes, and Michael Malone's not going to speak to it. You know, they're both little guards. You know, Jalen's a little bit bigger in a way. You know, it seems like, you know, you feel a little bit more comfortable when he is out there. But I just think it's maybe a preference thing. Maybe it's just like the difference isn't enough for Malone to see. And he maybe just has a more trust for the guy that's been there, at least with the team, a little bit longer. So he's going to go with him. I don't think it's anything big or major because, you know, in the long run, you don't want to see those guys out. Well, right now, you don't want to see a rookie guard on the floor, you know, in the games that really matter. So, you know, hopefully Murray is healthy and Jackson is playing to the level that we expect, and we don't have to worry about what that third string spot looks like. But I think it's just a preference thing.
Andy, what do you think?
I think that it infuriates fans over time to be like, oh, we got this draft pick for this person, and so we need to play them. And when they see someone like Colin Gillespie, who they don't know as well, they're just like not very patient with it. I think a strength and a weakness of Malone is he's really good about having chunks of the season where everybody gets a little playing time, because they are investing in these people. And Colin Gillespie, like it or not, and for us, not, even though Colin seems like a great player and all that, he's our only second representative at the All-Star game. He's been crushing it in the G League all year. So he's averaging 22 points a game in the G League. He's in fucking Grand Rapids, Michigan, you know, busting his ass in obscurity. He was out a full year after, to be frank, when I saw him in the Summer League 2 years ago and he was going to be a rookie, I was like, holy shit, Colin Gillespie just got like 10 rebounds and he's like 4'11". You know, I was like, this dude hustles his ass off. He's a gamer. You know, but like to Wade's point about Justin Holliday or like whoever else, like Gillespie or Pickett, like you can't really get in a rhythm. And same thing for Zeke. You can't really get in a rhythm when you're out. You don't know when you're playing. And, you know, I think, you know, he wants to give the Hunter Tysons and the Picketts and the Gillespies and the Huffs and Braxton Key and all these guys a little bit of minutes because they're developmental. And you never know, like maybe one of those guys has a key moment right before the playoffs that helps us get a higher seed or in the playoffs. But I just think he's like, you know, Gillespie's been busting his ass and he basically hasn't played all year. And other than not being able to translate scoring into the NBA, his minutes looked pretty good. He had like some bad turnovers in a couple games, but like, he's hustling his balls off. It's just if any of those shots go in, all the Nuggets fans are like, oh, we got Gillespie for 9 and 15 minutes. He's sick, you know. But since he had three, they're like, where's Jalen Pickett, you know? I don't think it's like a misalignment. I think it's hard to find minutes in on a guaranteed starting five superstar, you know, number one in the NBA starting five. I think it's hard the next 6 through 12 to find minutes for everyone. And I think Malone's trying to give him some run before the All-Star game. And to be frank, I don't think we'll see a lot of any of those guys the rest of the year.
So, Ray, do you agree that Michael Malone maybe just wanted to honor Jalen Colin Gillespie for playing really good in the G League?
I think it's important to remember that there are always things in like a locker room dynamic that aren't purely basketball as well. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's seniority, sometimes it's just the relationship that player has with a coach. But as far as for Colin specifically, I'm okay with him playing. Like I think he's solid enough. He's undersized, and I think any undersized point guard is kind of going to be dependent on, especially if they're not an elite athlete, dependent on like a pick and roll partner that I hope they find one day for those backup minutes. But it's okay. I'm okay with it. I can let it go.
So just to continue with you, Ray, you have the honor of answering the question we've seen on Nuggets Twitter a gazillion times in the last week. What is your concern level for the team right now, and what's actually your prediction for how they will look like when the break is finished?
My concern level out of, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest level of concern, I would say, like, a 4. None of the things in the regular season particularly on their own bothers me, but I do think because of the way they're approaching the regular season and that it's in theory doesn't matter, it's really all dependent on how the playoffs go. So what I'm really thinking about is how could this go wrong for Denver in the playoffs? And what are those things that I'm looking at and worrying about? And I would say the biggest thing is, if there's any team out there that can somehow disrupt the two-man game, I wonder how Denver can adapt beyond that.
So
that's about it for me.
If I'm not mistaken, the Nuggets have played 55 games so far. So they have, 27 games left? Wade, without looking at the schedule, Wade, what would your prediction for the outcome of these 27 games be? Like, how many wins would you expect on top of these 36 they already have?
I would say, like maybe like 18-9 is how they finish out. 17-10, somewhere around there.
Literally, what I was gonna say.
Yes, somewhere like, you know, 600-700% or 60-70%. Winning for this point on. I haven't looked at the schedule at all. But that, you know, I don't care about the seeding, but if they can just finish winning convincingly more than they lose and just have some sort of momentum going into the playoffs, then I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, you're so good at math because I put you on the spot there. Like, that's a 53-54 win pace, and they're actually on that pace right now. Andy, you have the scale introduced by Ray for the concern level. You have Wade's math. So play under those rules.
I think 5 out of 10, I think Ray's in the right range, and I think Wade was spot on. I think they're going to be 17-10, and the interesting thing about that is their strength of schedule finally is not the worst in the league. It's actually kind of the most favorable. I think we come back this week, we play Washington, and then we play the Kings. And there's a handful of tough games between now and the end of the season. And like, finishing the season every year with Minnesota is so fun now. The last game of the season is Minnesota again. So who knows what implications that'll have? Because that's like when they ramp up and you're like, oh, this is like Jamal's like, time to play. And by the way, I'm not shitting on Jamal. Jamal is incredible, but you know, you guys all know the rhythms of what we're talking about. I'm not that concerned. I just feel the 5 out of 10, like this time last year, I was like 8 out of 10, not concerned, because you got Bruce, you got Jeff, you've got these other parts that were stepping up. We didn't even have Reggie yet. And you're like, I just felt viscerally more, less concerned. I don't think the sky is falling. The one thing I like about what Calvin Booth has done is he's trying to do a 5 to 7 year look. So it's like, if we can somehow skate by and get to the Western Conference Finals and or the finals with this young crew, then you have Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Strother, all these dudes for the next 3 to 4 years have all this experience under their belt. And then when we go back to this again, then they're even more tested by metal. But like at the trade deadline and these buyout people, it's like signing Gallinari or DeLon Wright or any of these guys wasn't going to make a difference. So get like roll with your boys, roll with basketball the Nuggets way, and count on them to show up when it matters and have that be the culture that I like. I just don't feel as confident going into the playoffs as I did, just because everybody else got better, especially the East. And so, you know, you just hope that they're going to peak at the right time, that the graph is going up and to the left when it matters, up and to the right.
I loved your point about Calvin making a like a five-year projection with this team, even though they're already champions. And I mean that speaks levels to the we don't skip steps. Like, even though we're on the top of the mountain, we're still not skipping steps. We're still not doing crazy stuff with the roster, trying to force ourselves to be the champions, which is, I must say, a bit annoying to me. But on the other side, we have a proof of concept made by San Antonio Spurs, who did the exact same thing. They won like how many 4 championships in like 8 years or whatever that was. Yes. And that's, they never repeated. And that's really impressive. Although they were the pioneers back then with, you know, scouting the whole world. They had so many international players on their staff, and Coach Pop is a super smart guy who befriended so many great coaches around the world. So I'm guessing he trusted their opinions when bringing guys to the States. So yeah, that's a really, really, really great concept. But we are not gonna waste any more time on basketball. F basketball. It's time for a break, and then when we return, we'll just get crazy with some games that are unusually crazy, even for me. Don't go anywhere. Okay, we are back. We are back. And it is time to bring in the old graphic. So, battle for the MVP of the All-Star Game show. So, before we start the actual game, this is going to be a bit difficult. I don't want, because the first game, you can actually have a pretty significant advantage if you choose first. So, or you get the first shot at it. So I'm going to let you guys guess a number I have in my head between 1 and 20. And whoever is the closest to the one will get to be the first in the first game. It's so whoever wants to go first with their guess, and then I will tell you who is the closest. And I have it on paper, by the way, so I'm not going to make it up.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
15.
That's what I was going to pick.
It is, of course, 15. But this is why Wade is a champion. He grabs his opportunity. So Wade knew that he needed to do it. To do it right away. Yeah, of course it is 15, and since I've started with the number 15, I'll ask you a question about the first All-Star appearance of our God and Savior Nikola Jokic in 2019. I will list 12 Nikola's teammates from that All-Star game. Yes, there were 12 teammates, because this was the only All-Star game with 13 players on each team, if you remember. And your job is to list the guys you think played the least minutes for Team Giannis. So if you guess a guy with the least minutes played in that game, you will get 12 points, you know, for the second least, 11, and so on. And don't worry, it's an easy game to warm up our fragile brains. I will show you all of the guys that appeared. So I'm not asking you to remember who the guys were. So
damn,
these are the 12 guys, and Wade will give his best shot at who played the least minutes next to Nikola Jokic. By the way, played something like 19 minutes in this game. Not great, not terrible. So Wade, who played the least minutes?
I'm going to go with Dirk as my first option.
Yeah, this is why I said you really won the first place and the first shot at this game. That is correct, Wade. 12 points for you. Andy?
Ooh, next, I'm going to go Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker? He is seventh on this list. He actually played 20 minutes and 20 seconds, and I believe he was a starter in this game.
That was the last time he was good.
Because look at this squad, guys. So LeBron was the other guy, Giannis was this guy, and LeBron just fleeced Giannis on this draft. So yeah, Kemba Walker, I believe, was a starter, so he played more than 20 minutes. Ray.
That's crazy.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Nikola Vucevic.
Nikola Vucevic is a great guess. He is number two with 11 minutes and 40 seconds for Ray. Back to Wade.
I'm going to go with Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin is not such a great guess. He's sixth on this list, 7 points for you. He played almost 20 minutes in this game off the bench.
Wow. It's my turn, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go with Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry is a great guess. He is number four on this list, Andy. 12 minutes and 44 seconds. So, yeah, it's really hard to go back in time 5 years and just imagine how many minutes each of these guys should have
Kemba
played.
Walker had knees.
Yeah, and now he's playing in France. Ray.
This is tough. I'm going to go with one Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton is Giannis's buddy. He was the first pick off the bench for Giannis, and he is number eight on this list, Ray. So 5 points for you.
Okay.
Fair. Back to Wade. We still need number three and number five.
Yeah,
big points.
I'm gonna go with D'Angelo Russell.
Yes, that's a great guess. That is a great guess. He played for only 12 minutes in this game. 10 points for Wade. Andy.
I'm actually gonna go with Paul George.
Paul George played 25 minutes and 40 seconds, which is the third worst in this game. 3 points for you. Back to Ray.
Bummer.
Okay, then I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook.
Yes, Russ is number five, Ray. 8 points for you. He played for less than 20 minutes. 19 minutes and 20 seconds. We are back to Wade. Just three more guesses. Don't worry. If you make a mistake, I will tell you that we already guessed that, guys.
Okay.
I won't be an asshole more than usually.
I'm going to go with the guy I hate the most in the NBA. Nah, I don't hate him the most, but let's go with Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid is the best guess out of the guys that are left. 4 points for you, Wade. Yeah, 23 minutes and 11 seconds.
Andy, okay, and then
two guys left.
Yeah, even though Giannis was the captain, this was the height of Steph, so those are the only two left. So I'm gonna say Giannis played less than Steph.
Yes, that's a good guess, Andy. 2 points for you. 27 minutes and 9 seconds. So Ray, you don't get to choose your last. Well, no? You're stuck with Steph Curry, who played for 29 and a half minutes. I'm just going to guess that Wade won this because he has 12 and 10 and 7 and 4 points. That equals a lot of points.
That's 31. All right. What do I have, Miroslav?
Yeah, you have 9 and 6 15. And 3 and 2.
Once again, okay. I have been shut out, but I did win.
Yeah, and Ray had, if you want to count again, so Ray had 11, 8, 5, and 1. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that Wade won this game. Not like super comfortably, but he did win this game. This is why he is the champion of the game show so far. But we'll see what happens. Let's take the last break, and then we have two more games to play at the end of the show. Don't go anywhere. Okay, we are back. So the winner of first game is Wade. So his award is to start first in the second game, which might and also might not help him. So the game is called Slide. Oh, so this was the list. Ah, Jesus. Okay, doesn't matter. So it's let me try to do it. Yeah. So can I have your full name, sir/madam? Shout out to Jokic Collector who made this wonderful graphic for this game. So Wade, we all know how this game is played, but for the audience that hasn't watched the game show September last year, a quick explanation. We're gonna make up some three-part full names by combining two persons' names, where the last name of the first person is the same or sounds like the first name of the second person. I'm going to give you a maximum of three clues for both persons. And to understand the game better, here's an example. The first person is the guy who hit the side of the backboard in the clutch against the Nuggets. And the second guy used to be a lead singer for the pop group called Wham. So your answer will be Paul George Michael. That sounds like a character from Arrested Development, I think. Paul George Michael. So you will recognize quickly that there's a theme to all the answers today. That's all I'm saying, Wade. So let's start with the first combination. You will get the first try on each of the clues. So first clue. The first person was born in 1929 in Santa Lucia near Naples or Napoli in Italy or Italia. The second person was an all-star while playing for the Denver Nuggets.
While playing for the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he was a Denver Nuggets all-star. And the first guy was born in 1929 in Santa Lucia near Naples in Italy.
Yeah. I'm going to pass.
Andy, any ideas?
Oh, I mean, the Nuggets have only had like 10 or 15 All-Stars. So that narrows it down. But the Italy part, I'm trying to think whose last name connects with the first name of a Nugget, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm having trouble with. I'm going to pass for this round.
Smart. Ray?
My mid-20th century history is not up to snuff, and I will also pass.
Okay. Let's go to the second clue. Wade. Be patient, Andy. Wade, the first person was a professional swimmer and water polo player. The second person's character appears on the HBO show called Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty. It's so messed up. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, this is a setup. This is crazy. You know, luckily I was able to win the championship despite losing every single time we played this game.
That is true. And Andy was always the champion of these games. Unfortunately, it's never the last game.
Yeah.
Why would it be?
I'm going to pass.
Okay, Andy, any ideas?
I have a guess that I'll try.
Okay.
Because it feels right, but I'm struggling with the origin country and the water polo and swimmer part.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Larry David Thompson.
That is incorrect. I believe we already had that combination.
Okay. All right. Last year.
Yeah. But I'm kind of, you know, I do have a lot of, you know, years on my passport. So it's possible that I will just repeat something. Okay, Ray, any ideas from your side?
I have some theory about the back half, but I'm still...
Same.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wait for the third and the easiest clue. Wait. I'm not saying it's easy, it's the easiest of the three. So wait. The first person starred in 18 films together with his movie partner Terence Hill. The second person was an all-star in the ABA League in his only season on the Nuggets in 1970 as a rookie, but then became a four-time all-star with the Seattle Supersonics.
The name that I had in mind is no longer the Nugget at this point. But then, they should have been Winning Time. Wow, that's...
Damn, like ABA Nuggets? That is...
Right.
All-Star 1970?
Yeah, last Ooh. Year of ABA Nuggets.
Were they the... They were the Rockets then, yeah.
No, I believe that's like the first season they've been called the Nuggets, I believe.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah. He was a rookie. Already an all-star as a rookie. Well, it's ABA, so it's not that hard. But look at the first part. 18 films together with his movie partner, Terence Hill. So this guy is not only a swimmer and water polo player, he's also an actor.
Yeah, but born in 1929, it sounds like he's an old actor, and my movie knowledge is very minimal, especially if we go past like the 90s. I have no idea. I don't even know who Terence Hill is. Like, maybe if I seen a face, I would know. So I'm.
Yeah. Andy.
I'm struggling on both. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you one more piece of help, because I kind of think you're the only one here that might guess this because this is super hard. So Terence Hill, he is also an Italian guy with an American name.
Oh.
So the guy we're looking for also has an American name in the game.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like the swimmer and water polo thing is throwing me off because that was so long ago. It's like what are we talking about? Because and no one I'm landing on has a last name that could be a Nuggets first name. That's my main problem that I'm struggling with. But once you say it, it'll be like, oh, obviously he's Italian. I'm gonna feel bad because it'll be very clear to me once you say it, but I have literally no idea.
Ray?
Killing me. I believe in you, Andy.
I know. I pull this out of my ass, but I don't know. I don't know the Terence Hill reference. I don't know any of it.
I'm so sorry. Maybe... to my history professors.
Okay. I'm just going to give you the right answer. And this, by the way, was the hardest question of them all. So Wade getting that one wasn't a great help for him, for his case anyway. So the correct answer is Bud Spencer.
Bud Spencer is so...
Still don't know who that is.
Spencer Haywood, for sure. Like, he is unbelievable. He was like pseudo Jordan-esque, but Bud Spencer? Wow.
Yeah, I have to be honest. Bud Spencer and Terence Hill used to be super famous in former Yugoslavia because we loved spaghetti westerns, and these guys made a lot of spaghetti westerns together. And yeah, and not only that, even some fist fighting movies as well, like great top level Italian cinematography. Okay, Let's move to the second question, the second combination, and this one is for Andy. Hopefully a bit easier than the first one. So, second combination. The first person was an all-star while playing for the Nuggets. The second person was born in 1937. You know, that helps a lot.
I think I might have it. Okay. I'm wondering if I should guess now or I should wait. Because if I'm wrong about the second part, it could be somebody else. I don't want to blow it. I'm gonna go ahead and gamble because I just feel like if I don't, Wade will win every game. So I'm gonna say Carmelo Anthony Hopkins.
Fuck you. Yes, right? It's Sir Carmelo.
Oh, Anthony. Wow. That's incredible.
I love Anthony Hopkins, and I knew Carmelo Anthony had to be.
That's incredible.
That's a great yes. Yeah, I wanted to help you guys more. Like, the first person played at 6 All-Star games when he wasn't a Nugget, for some reason. The second person is an actor that shared the silver screen with such stars like Brad Pitt, Julianne Moore, Tom Cruise, and Idris Elba. And the first person keeps rewriting his tenure on the Nuggets. And the second person played the most famous cannibal in Hollywood history. So kudos to you, Andy. That was a great, great show from you. Ray, you need to top this one now. Okay?
I do. I need to step up.
So third combination, Ray is starting. The first person was born in London, England in 1963. The second person is a legend of the Denver Nuggets.
I think I have the second one, but...
You've got the legend of the Denver Nuggets?
I'm feeling it, yeah, but too vague. I'm going to pass for the first option.
Wade?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to pass as well. I was waiting for the next clue.
I will also pass.
Oh, so you don't know all the people born in London, England in 1963. Okay. No. Second clue for Ray. The first person's born name is Georgios Kyriakos Panayotou. The second person was an assistant coach for the New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers, New Orleans Hornets, and Golden State Warriors.
That kind of changes it. I don't know. This person's born name was... I'm so disappointed, but I have no idea. Wade?
Yeah, the coaching part just threw me all the way off.
I thought I had coaching. It.
I mean, I still don't know who the first person is at all, but...
it's a guy born in England in 1963, but
it's a Greek man born in England.
Kind of a Greek name, yeah. So, Andy?
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
I have an idea of the second one, but if I'm wrong, I'll blow the whole thing. So I think
Ray is going to get this one because the third clue is pretty hot. So, Ray.
Okay.
The first person appears on the graphics for this very game. The second person is the only Denver Nuggets head coach to coach at the All-Star game more than once.
The second... I'm trying to like word arrangement. The first person appears in this graphics for it. This very game.
I should have guessed.
The only Denver Nuggets head coach to coach at the All-Star game more than once.
I feel like it's... Oh my gosh. I think I'm panicking a little bit.
This is what the game is for.
I know. How could I do this?
Just think about Bud Spencer.
I haven't gotten a single one of these right, so don't feel bad.
And Terrence Hill.
He's got. He knows this one though.
I think it's tough. Well, but like
maybe he does. I think he does.
But the first person appears in the graphics for this very game.
What's up, Uncommon Soul? Shout out while we're thinking.
Yeah, how you doing? Okay, I don't want to keep us too long. All Wade, this is for you.
Wade.
Oh,
I'm thinking of the
this.
Coach,
this is a big moment for me. I'm gonna yeah. I'm gonna go with George Michael Malone.
George Michael Malone.
I was gonna guess it, and then it's correct.
I totally overthought that.
I thought it was gonna be a movie star, so that's why I was in an actor world.
Yeah, George Michael Malone is correct. And
can't believe I've done this.
In this game, we don't have a tiebreaker for this game. So since Wade won the first game, we're going to let Andy be the champion of the second game, by the way.
Oh, wow. That's not what I was expecting you to say.
Let's include everybody. Sure. You're also a winner, Timmy.
We're all winners. That's fine. I win other things.
That's right. So let's just move to the third and final game for today. So the game is called Which Trio Had the Most Combined All-Star Appearances? I will show you four groups of three guys, and you will tell me which combination of all of those has the most combined All-Star appearances. We'll start with Andy with the first question. So, first combination is Jokic, Dirk Nowitzki, Peđa Stojaković. The second combination is LeBron James, Manu Ginobili, Marcus Camby. The third combination is Larry Bird, Paul Gasol, Draymond Green. And the last one, Michael Jordan, Alex English, Lamar Odom.
Okay, I'm doing some math here. And I know the answer. I know how, like, the lead person in most of these scenarios, how many All-Star games they've had. Question is the following several. I know how many Alex English had. So that's good there. But, like, it's hard to argue with number two math-wise. I mean, but then it's like how many All-Stars did Lamar Odom have? Number one in our hearts for sure. I'm going to guess. Fuck. Oh, wait, because maybe Dirk had a lot. The math of it sucks. All right, I'm going to go. Oh, actually, the math of it might I get to go first and then they're going to guess the other ones?
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Whoever guessed it first.
I'm going to guess. This is going to be wrong. I'm going to guess number three against my better judgment.
Number three is incorrect. Ray. Chance. Oh no, I should go to Wade first because he was a co-champion.
I blew it.
Okay.
Classic.
Sorry, Ray.
So number three is not the correct answer.
If I've learned anything about these games, is Jokic is typically the preference and the gear for him to be the answer. So I'm gonna go with number one.
Number one is of course correct.
God damn, what an idiot. I fell for it.
And to be fair, this was like dirty close. Jokic, Dirk, and Peđa has 23. So okay. I'm counting tomorrow's game as well. So Jokic has 6. Dirk has he has a lot. Peđa has 3.
I think Jokic Dirk has like 12 6, or 14 or something.
Yeah, Dirk
so
has a bunch.
9. So that's 14. 14.
English, I remember, had 8 because I actually Dirk. Looked because I wasn't sure. Yeah.
So LeBron has 20. And Manu has 2, and Camby has 0. Yeah. And, you know, Bird and Jordan also had a bunch. Like, both of them had, like, 14 or something like that. But, you know, the other guys combined 222. Yeah, it was really close. Now we go.
What were you going to pick, Ray? Just curious.
It doesn't matter.
LeBron jumps out at you. You're like, oh, LeBron's got 20.
It does. Oh, yeah, 20, yeah.
It was a trap.
Oh, well, maybe.
I was a bit surprised.
Al has 6 and Draymond has 4, but that's not.
Yeah, Manu had only 2, and that's actually wasn't fair. Like Manu. Was
I was gonna say.
Did Odom have 1 or 0?
Odom had, I believe, 0. I believe 0. I picked Camby and Odom like 2 guys with 0s, but with pretty good, you know, resume just as a decoy.
Like LeBron's got like 4 million, you know. Manu should have some.
Okay, it is time for Wade's question. Again, 4 combinations, same question. First combination: Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Yao Ming. Combination 2: Tim Duncan, Shaquille O'Neal, Allen Iverson. 3. Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, Kevin Durant, and 4th combination, Elgin Baylor, Charles Barkley, Kobe Bryant.
Wow. These are very, very close. Just our first thought.
There's actually no way to guess this.
unless I studied all of the All-Star appearances prior to this. But I'm going to go just off my gut, I'm going to go with number 4 because Elgin Baylor was a monster when he played, and Charles Barkley had a good career, and Kobe has like 15 or 16 appearances. I'm going to go with number 4.
Kobe had a lot of appearances, more than 15.
Yeah, maybe
I'm
more,
sure of that. Elgin Baylor actually had quite a short career. So that is incorrect.
Ah, dang.
We're going to Ray now.
Okay.
Number 4 is incorrect.
Wait, why do we go to Ray next? It's fine.
For the vibes. and I think I
the
am
vibes.
Going You're going to be second in the next question. Come on.
I'm going to go with number 2.
Number 2 is correct.
Wow.
Tim Duncan, Shaq, and Allen Iverson, 41 appearances at the All-Star game. Actually, all of these guys, I believe, are in like top 25 games in the All-Star games. Yeah, but Duncan, I think Duncan had like 15 or something like that. Shaq had like 14. And Iverson also had a bunch. So, yeah, this was also very close. 41 for the second combination, 40 for the first and the fourth one, and 39 for the third one. Okay, now we go to Ray, and this time it's a different question. It's not the number of games played, All-Star games played. The question is, who combined for most free throw attempts in All-Star games? You're going to get 4 combinations of 3 guys again. And all of those, I guess, 16 guys are in the top 25 of players who attempted the most free throws in All-Star games. So, first combination. Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson. Second, Dominique Wilkins, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson. Third combination is
Dolph Shays,
Bob Cousy, and Moses Malone. And the fourth combination is George Gervin, Paul Arizin, and Hal Greer.
Number 3.
Incredible! What a win for Ray.
Comeback season! Let's go!
What a win. And it's not particularly close. These 3 guys combined for 168 free throws attempts. I have no idea how many they've made of those. The other combination was Dominique, Hakeem, and Robinson, 147. I guess it's because we have 2 centers there. But what's most interesting to me is that Magic, Kobe, and Iverson combined for so few free throws. it's because the games are just not as serious as they used to be.
Yeah,
it all makes sense because in the 60s and 70s, actually, people's sexiest man alive was free throws.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. America didn't have computers. They didn't have anything. But, man, we loved those free throws.
So Ray is officially the MVP of the All-Star Game show. But,
oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But before we go out,
wow.
I
made sure that we get the winner in case there was a three-way tie. I have another question for all of you guys. And it's just, you know, just for fun because Ray is already the champion. So the question is, and you can scream your answer as soon as you have it, the first one okay. that gets the closest answer wins. The question is, in 1975-76 ABA season, by the way, you were right, Andy, about the 1970 season. It was the Denver Rockets back then. So in 1975-76 ABA season, the Denver Nuggets, that was their name then, had the most All-Star players ever. How many players represented the Nuggets that year at the All-Star game? By the way, it was the ABA All-Star game.
Five.
Three.
Okay.
Wait,
said three? And you say four.
It's good that we all have different answers.
Yeah, three, four, and five.
Yeah, and the guy that was closest was Andy. 11 All-Stars. 11
All-Stars.
Yes, the only could remember three of those names. So
I'm not sure they had more than 11 guys on their roster, man. Like, what was that? Byron That's Beck, crazy. Roger Brown, Jimmy Foster, Gus Gerard, Dan Issel, Bobby Jones, Ralph Simpson, Claude Terry, David Thompson, Monty Tau, and Chuck Williams. 11 All-Stars.
And Jamal can't get in, huh?
We'll beat that next year.
It was also the team that did the most Quaaludes all time at the All-Star game.
Yeah. So I guess Andy won the NBA Cup of today and Ray won the championship. So
the season tournament. I mean, we're going to the slots. I'll see you guys at the Luxor for the Blue Man Group.
Cool.
I'm not. I didn't perform well enough to go to the after party at XS with Deadmau5 and Drake.
Okay, guys. Any parting thoughts before we leave? And I guess wait for the All-Star game. I'm not gonna watch. Honest thing to say. I've only watched the first Jokic All-Star game, and then I said F that. Like, I'm not watching that ever again. I mean, I did watch some, you know, highlights and stuff like that, but no games. So any closing thoughts? Wade?
For me, I would just say to all the Nuggets fans out there, just keep having fun with the season. You know, I mean, I we have the same mindset as the team. It feels like, you know, you win it all and then you can kind of just, you know, coast through the regular season into the playoffs again. So, just keep having fun. You know, enjoy the moment. You know, this is peak Nuggets basketball at the end of the day.
Ray, how about you?
I would say take this opportunity to, you know, find some inner peace in your life, be with your loved ones, and gird your loins for what is about to be maybe a little bit more of, you know, what's happening.
Okay, Andy, I'm not going to let you do the closing thoughts. I'm just going to ask you to say something really random while the graphic for the end of the show rolls out.
Cool. I think the NBA should do a rock and jock basketball game with terrible stars from music and television shows and give us what we want. Show us Joey Lawrence and Mark Paul Gosselaar dunking the ball.